Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Along with my very awesome co-host, Eric Brown, and Inkishi Free is back after a two-week break, so we're excited to have her back. So today we will be talking about the draft and its implications for the upcoming season, you know, what maybe we expect to see or not see, you know, everything like that. So it'll be a great show. So hello, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Hey, what's up? Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. A little disappointed after last night's fight, but we will not get into that, or a rant will be forthcoming. So we're not here to talk about
what?
Watching.
No, we like rants.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've missed
this,
them.
Yeah.
Okay.
All I'm going to say is, what's that?
No, go ahead, please. I'm ready for it.
All right. All I'm going to say is I'm glad I didn't pay the full $100 for the pay-per-view and then I split it with a bunch of people. That's what I'm going to say. And I'm also going to say, no, I'm not going to say that. So that's for me. Okay. That's as far as that rant goes. I'm going to have some self-control here. Yeah. So. How's your guys' weekend?
I have had a long, crazy couple of weeks. So first, let me say hello to everybody. I have missed you all. I have missed being on the show. Literally and truly have missed you guys, but really and truly have been doing the family thing. I am a proud mommy because 2 weeks ago, my baby girl's team took first place in their cheer competition, and they actually won a first-round bid to the national competition, which was held this past weekend in Rhode Island. Unfortunately, though, because they got their bid so late, they weren't able to pull together enough girls to field a team to compete. I did, however, run into one of the other moms today, and she said that out of their team, because they were with a team called Maryland Intensity, and out of the teams that Maryland Intensity took this weekend to the Nationals, three teams took first place, one team took second place, and I think another team took third. So yay to Maryland Intensity. My nephew got christened today at church, and last weekend we celebrated my girlfriend's 40. I always get this wrong because I always keep thinking that I'm older. Don't tell her I said that. Her 46th birthday, and that was huge because my girlfriend is a breast cancer survivor. So I apologize that I missed. However, the celebration of life, especially a life that has survived all of the odds, is a life worth celebrating. So thank you guys for allowing me to miss, and I'm ready to be back and jump into some good old sports talk.
Awesome. Well, it does sound like it's a good couple of weeks, so we're glad to have you back, but, you know, that does come first. So that's awesome. Eric, how's your weekend?
Oh, pretty good. Like you, I got a chance to see the fight last night. Went over to my cousin's house, so I got a chance to watch mm-hmm. that. I mean, it pretty much went the way I thought it was going to go, so no major disappointment there. But and other than that, you know, another you know typical weekend, just, you know, catching up on stuff, getting ready for the week, stuff like that. So can't really complain.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. I have my thoughts on that fight that probably nobody wants to hear. But other than that, it was a good weekend. It was getting ready for finals, things like that. But, yeah, overall, it was relaxing. We got no snow. So, hey, you know, it was a good weekend.
As far as I'm concerned, that's always a good weekend.
That's right. So, in addition to draft talk today, we will have recaps of the WFA, the IWFL, as well as Guam Women's Tackle Football. So, we would like you to go to the No Joke Football Shop at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. Order your project apparel like leggings, hoodies, and cool tees. Save 10% off when you use the code ORDERSHIP. So go check their stuff out. And a reminder that every sale from the No Joke Football Shop goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally with our photo shoots, social media platforms, on different campaigns we do. You know, we have players like Christy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sophia Van Bay of FXF Mexico and LIBF. So let's do the women's rundown before we get to the NFL draft. We are going to start in Guam. You can follow at Bam Guam for updates and links to game coverage. So this weekend, week 6 in the Bud Light Guam Women's Tackle Football, the Lady Raiders beat the Tough Chicks 28-6 after some solid defense from the Raiders as well as a punt return by Kimberlyn Chupaz. The Lady Raiders improved to 4-1 to keep up with team legacy, while the Tough Chicks fall to 0-5. The three-time defending champion team legacy continue to dominate. They shut out the Steel Blazers 54-0 with some amazing defense and offense that included 209 yards and 4 touchdowns by Flores. Team legacy improves to 4-1, while the Steel Blazers fall to 1-3-1. Today, Sindaloo play the Lady Falcons, and you can find the results of that matchup at Bam Guam on their Twitter. So let's move to unfortunately, the LFL, while I was trying to gather scores, the website was down, and the Twitter page didn't have complete scores, so I wasn't able to get those. But you can go to at MyLFL or go, their website is LFLUS.com for updates and news. So hopefully we can get you guys those scores soon. LFL also has an app, and you can find it on Google Play. So now we'll move on to the WFA. You can visit WFAfootball.net for results and standings, and also go to WFANation.com for weekly interviews. You can follow our network partner at Backseat Coach for finals updates and game day story links. So let's move on to scores. The Pacific Warriors had a huge win today against the West Coast Lightning, taking it 87-2. The Acadia Zydeco, lose 2 in a row as they're shut out by the Houston Power 43-0. We have some big scores here. Another huge shutout by the Arlington Impact as they beat the South Lady Crushers 82-0. The Portland Shockwaves beat the Everett Rain 21-8. The St. Louis Slam fall from the undefeated ranks as they lose to the Kansas City Titans 27-17. The Kansas City Titans had rebounded from their big loss to the Dallas Elite last week. So the Portland Fighting Phillies lose 2 in a row as they fall to the Tacoma Trauma 20-10. The Seattle Majestics with a huge win. They beat the Utah Blitz 82-0. And the Indy Crash rebound from their shutout last week. They had a big win at home against the Minnesota Machine, 32-6. And the San Diego Surge put up an amazing amount of points this week. They beat the Arizona Assassins 90-6. So I bet that game, offensive, if you're a fan of offense, was a lot of fun to watch. And the Dallas Elite continue to win big as they shut out the Austin Outlaws 74-0. These teams are putting up huge points. So let's recap. Now we're going to move on to the IWFL. You can visit IWFLsports.com for updates and standings. The New York Sharks remain undefeated as they beat the Washington Prodigy 19-0. The Montreal Blitz had a big win over the Connecticut Wreckers 42-14. The still undefeated Sacramento Sirens continue to impress this season. The Sirens win 59-0 versus the North County Stars. The Huntsville Tigers beat the Tennessee Train 34-16. And the Houston Energy behind our Lauren Cantu shut out New Orleans Crew 54-0. The San Antonio Regulators lost to the Austin Yellow Jackets 40-14. While the Carolina Phoenix beat the Carolina Queens 14-0. The Utah Falcons had a huge shutout this weekend against the Nevada Storm, 60-0. So a reminder to follow at CIFA Official for the Italian women's results and story links at our Facebook page for updates. Go to our Facebook page for updates weekly. You can search Gridiron Beauties. Now we're going to talk about the NFL draft. So we are going to start with Eric. Eric, do you? Why don't you just take it away and kind of give us your impression of the draft this weekend?
Well, didn't really get to watch a ton of it, but seemed like this year was pretty tame as compared to, you know, the build up of it. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, shocking trades or you know, somebody that was being, you know, predicted to be, you know, say, pick number one that fell all the way to, you know, the third round or something like that. It was, most of it was pretty pretty tame, we'll say, you know, pretty predictable, especially the first two picks with, you know, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. You know, they went to the teams that everybody predicted they would. Amari Cooper, you know, ended up going to Oakland. So the first, you know, handful of picks, you know, that was pretty predictable. So not a whole lot of, you know, interesting things happened. You know, there were some trades, but more so, you know, the mid to later rounds. So it's kind of an overall, you know, synopsis of it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. You know, the, you know, Bucs took Winston, just like they pretty much let everybody know. Mariota went second. You know, people were wondering if the Titans were going to take a trade, you know, this and that. But ultimately, you know, the Titans played the poker face pretty well leading up to the draft, which I was impressed with. But, you know, Wisenhunt is basically saying, Mariota's our guy. We're not trading him out. And, you know, they basically expected to draft him, it sounds like, the entire time. You know, that they expect him to week one. So, which is interesting because week one puts the Tennessee Titans versus the Bucks. So it should be interesting to see these two quarterbacks, which are probably both going to start, to see how they develop this summer and are able to fit into the system. I'm actually really excited to watch week one this year. So, yeah, there weren't a lot of big surprises or trades, like you said. I do have to say how excited I am that UW had an amazing, the University of Washington had an amazing draft this year. It's the first time that three Huskies were taken in the first round of the draft, and it was really exciting to see those guys do that. So I was excited about my school. But, you know, I was surprised about, you know, Jacksonville passing up on Amari Cooper. They had the pick before Oakland, and, you know, they didn't take him. And I get, you know, they took what they took a D-end or something like that. But Bortles needs receivers, and Amari Cooper is sitting there in a silver platter for you guys, and you pass him up and hand him off to Oakland. I just was like, are you kidding me? I don't know. I actually thought it was ridiculous because – I feel like at the position they drafted that they could have found someone in a later round and been okay. But to find a receiver of Amari Cooper's, you know, caliber is harder to come by. So yeah. I thought that was, you know, but again, I'm not the, you know, I don't have anything to do with Jacksonville Jaguars, so it's not really my problem. But I was surprised.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I guess they figure, you know, they have to do something to shore up that defense because, I mean, you know, as the old saying goes, defense wins championships. So, you know, maybe that's the angle that they were taking. I know the Patriots, trying to think of the name. I usually call them the Evil Empire, so I'm trying to think of the real name.
Whatever.
I know the Patriots had a... had to shore up some holes on defense. So I see they had a pretty good draft there.
Eric, I'm going to have to jump in and agree with Erica on that Amari Cooper, because the Jacksonville Jaguars have not had a standout player offensively since Maurice Jones-Drew. And he literally carried that team on his back for two seasons to get them to the playoffs. You know, and then after his knees went bad, if you look at it, that's really about the time the team really started to bottom out. They've never had a standout quarterback. That's another team that could really use a good quarterback. They have one in Bortles. And that's the thing. I mean, in terms of having, they've got Bortles, who is still up, you know, not sure it's his rookie season, so he's done amazing. But if you're going to have a standout quarterback, you've got to give him some weapons. And they have not had a lot of offensive weapons. So I'm going to agree with Erica on that one, that I'm surprised that they didn't take them. But, wow, good job for the Oakland Raiders. That was a huge pickup.
It is.
It also goes along with their track record. Seems like they're always picking, you know, either the fastest receiver in the draft or, you know, someone, you know, kind of high on people's, you know, draft list at receiver. So.
Mhm. Yeah, and you know, it is a huge pickup for the Raiders because they're in the same situation as the Jags are in. They had a rookie quarterback who's great. Derek Carr is great, and he will be great. That he needs some weapons. So, you know, the Raiders and the Jags, I feel like, are really mirroring each other right now. And so it was a huge pickup for Derek Carr and the Raiders. And it'll be exciting to see how those two can start to develop with each other, to see that chemistry build. Go ahead.
Well, I just hope that Oakland does not make the same mistake with this Carr that Houston made with the first Carr quarterback, in terms of, one, not giving him enough offensive weapons, and then two, not giving him enough protection on the O-line, because good gracious, you know, Derek Carr's older brother, and I can't think of his name, the other Carr brother, he literally spent more time eating grass and eating turf than he did throwing the ball. And I really think he would have been a much better quarterback had he not been hit so often, so fast, so soon, that he probably became just gun shy, for lack of a better term. And I really hope that the Raiders do a better job of giving him that O-line protection.
Yeah, definitely. And you know how after the draft they always do those stupid draft grades? Have you guys seen those?
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, my gosh, it drives me insane. Seriously. Okay, this can't turn into a rant. I'm just saying. Okay, so the draft grade really is like, okay, we see who you drafted, and this is an assessment of the talent that you have. But they act like it's a foregone conclusion that this is how your next season's going to go based on your draft grade. Like, who cares? Like, how these guys do really depends on coaching. It has to do how they fit into the system. You know, it doesn't, I mean, those draft grades, they drive me crazy. They really do. It's like, oh, we give you a C-. You know what? You can take your C- and you can shove it somewhere because that doesn't have any indication of how my team's going to do next season. And there you go.
Right.
That's my opinion on the draft grade.
Yeah, and to that point, the same thing, just because you get an A doesn't mean that you're going to go undefeated.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
You know what we call, there's a radio station here in D.C., and the joke is they have a segment called Winning Off the Field, because that's like the only place right now where the Redskins are winning. And they're like, well, we're winning off the field. So now they have this joke segment, you know, so people call in and they talk about when something really cool happens and they play the clip and there's like winning off the field. And that's what I always think about, you know, when I hear people talk about draft grades. I think, oh, yeah, you're winning off the field or you're losing off the field. But at the end of the day, what matters is what you put on the field. So even though people have draft grades, you know, and people make drafts, there's always no guarantee that by the time the season starts that person could be there. It, you know, Michael Sands got drafted, but he didn't even finish out the season. You know what I'm saying? So who you draft and where you draft them at the end of the day is irrelevant. You can give someone an A for drafting a great player in a good round, but if, God forbid, that player comes up injured, you know, and doesn't finish out the season, well, where's your draft grade now?
Right.
Well, that, yeah, and you, I mean, coaching really has a ton to do with it. I mean, Russell Wilson was taken, what, in the sixth round? Brady was taken in the sixth round. You know what I mean? You look at these guys, and what was the draft grade back then? You got to wonder, when they took these guys, people were going, you guys are insane. Why, you know, and look what they've turned their franchises into. So the draft, you know, people put way too much emphasis as far as, we have to have this guy, or I can't believe you did this. I mean, yeah, we could talk about surprises and whatnot, but ultimately it does come down to, can this player fit in to your specific system, and what can the coach do to foster the talent and kind of the raw skills that they possess? And,
right.
You know, if you've got some idiot coach who doesn't know how to do that, you could have the greatest player in the world and he's not going to do anything, you know?
Right.
So,
well, but now the only time, though, that draft grade does matter is in that rare instance when lightning strikes. Like, for example, I was just reading this article the other day called, you know, 15 Facts That You Didn't Know About Jerry Rice. So, of course, I care about the 15 facts about Jerry Rice because he's an alumni of my college, Mississippi Valley State University, home of the Delta Devils. Got to get that plug in there. And one of the things they still talk about is the fact that the Cowboys were set to draft Jerry Rice, and that the 49ers moved at the last minute, pulled some of those famous back-end deals and traded up two picks so they could jump in front of the Cowboys to pick Jerry Rice. You know, but that's when that's when you have to say, oh, wow, that's a worthy draft grade. You know what I'm saying? This was worthy of a draft grade because that was an actual strategic move. Some of these draft grades have nothing to do with strategy. You know, you're just and that's the thing I think was really lacking maybe with this year's draft from all the accounts and the reports that I've read. I'm not gonna lie, I did not get to see the first draft. I had a major fight that night, so for day one. But going back and doing the recap, the biggest thing that everyone talks about is that there was literally, it was like there was no surprise moves because you didn't see a lot of strategy. It was, okay, this is my pick, this is my slot, this is where I'm going, and I don't see anyone worth moving up or down for, you know, in that regard. And I think that has, probably what people are looking at, too, in terms of the grade, is where was the strategy behind who your team selected?
Yeah. Definitely. You know, we saw the, you know, we were theorizing about, I think last week, about, you know, where the running backs would go. We were talking about first round, what happened, and the Rams picked 10th. They took, Todd Gurley, which I think is probably one of the earliest a running back has gone in a while, wouldn't you say, Eric?
Yeah, at least the last 3 to 5 years. That was real early for a running back.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, too. And, yeah, he's a solid player. You know, I mean, I think he should, hopefully his knee has – wasn't it just last year he tore his ACL, right?
Yep, last year.
All right. So, hopefully the Rams situation doesn't turn into a Sam Bradford situation for them. And he rehabs fine. I mean, hopefully the knee's good and it doesn't turn into a chronic issue. Obviously, the Rams are kind of building again. And for Oscar's sake, I hope that he is able to really contribute a lot to that team. We'll have to hopefully get Oscar on sometime and hear his take on that particular pick. But
yeah, I tweeted to him in the week. Looked like they were going old school because Jeff Fisher, he's one of those guys that he's got to have that bell cow running back, as they call it. Control the ball on offense, nasty defense. So it looks like that's what he's trying to build over there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it should be interesting. And I think this is a fun part after the draft, is to see what happens in camp and, leading up to the season when they start paring the rosters down and who they're going to put where. It gets interesting. It gets really fun to watch,
And there'll be some more crazy free agent moves, too, coming up. So keep an eye out for that.
Exactly. I mean, there's still some big-name free agents out there, too, that, people have forgotten about, we've talked, Wes Welker still hasn't been picked up. I saw a picture of them at the Kentucky Derby, and I'm like, dude, maybe you should save up some of your money. You are unemployed. So, Michael Vick's still available. I think Reggie Wayne is still available. So,
And I think, is Des Bryant still available?
No.
I don't know.
Didn't he get picked up?
They franchise him.
Des Bryant over there. We franchise him. Don't play those games. I had to think for a minute. You are marching on some dangers. No, we did. We franchised him. And so, yay, thank goodness, even though I'm still not sure about letting DeMarco Murray go and it's not that I don't understand why they let him go, but it's the fact that they let him go to a division rival. That one's just going to have me scratching my head, and I really hope that that does not come back to bite us in the butt.
Well,
yeah,
also,
and
you
and
add,
it'll be
add
interesting.
Go ahead, Erica.
What's that?
I was going to say, to add to that, the Cowboys didn't draft a running back either. So it makes you kind of wonder, are they satisfied with what they have, or is there something up their sleeve coming up here? So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Well,
they're playing it safe right now. And I have to say, no, we don't. We don't know what they're going to do right now. They're playing it safe. But I have to say that for the first time in a long time, I've been okay with our off-season move, And I'm content that they're not just going crazy and just spending money unnecessarily. So I'm okay with what the Cowboys have been doing so far. Again, other than the whole letting him go to a division rival, I'm okay with what we've been doing this season. Winning off the field. No, sorry, I couldn't help myself.
We still have to find out what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. We still don't know that deal. I did hear that the Cowboys were out of the running for that. So, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, how that ends up,
Right.
You know what I'm wondering? If the Adrian Peterson situation is going to turn into another Nnamdi Asamoah, remember when he was, one of the biggest free agents out there when he was leaving Oakland?
Yeah.
And it was, this huge fight. Who's going to get him? Who's going to get him? And I was, kicking and screaming, Cowboys, Cowboys, take him, take him. And then he goes to Philly, and he turned out to just totally bust in the Andy Reid system. And I'm just and truthfully, his career has never been the same, and now I think he's retired now. If I remember correctly, I know he's not in the league. So I'm wondering, and I'm watching the Adrian Peterson thing, and I'm really hoping that it doesn't turn into another situation like that.
Well, I think he was a victim of just the system that he went to. Is just, it just didn't really fit his skill set. So I think he was more so a victim of that. I think if you put Adrian Peterson in, you can pretty much put him in whatever offense you have, and I don't see how he would not be successful. You know, he may not, you know, run for 2,000 yards again, but he would still be one of the top backs in the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, another thing,
I wouldn't mind getting him.
What was that?
I wouldn't mind getting him either. I'm gonna say that.
Yeah, anybody would take him.
Okay, come over to the Patriots, man. We'll make another run for the Super Bowl.
Eric, what was that you said about the what? What was that term you used again, Eric? I'm refreshing my memory.
Yeah, evil empire. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the dark side.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody wants to come to the dark side. Y'all know it.
But actually,
you know what I was thinking? What's that?
I was thinking watching the whole Jameis Winston, Mariota, back and forth. By the way, did anybody hear the commissioner? Because I have to love my man who just went totally let Colin Cowherd. I just love him. He is so funny. And he was just doing this whole rant about how the commissioner made the whole draft fun because he messed up Mariota's name. But
I was thinking,
oh, my God, it was so funny. But I was thinking, are we going to end up with another Andrew Luck RG3 situation where, you know, they're going back and forth and they're really going to be just totally media scrutinizing these two young quarterbacks, you know, in terms of who went first, who went second, and which team got the better deal. Now, clearly because of the success that the Colts have had, that team clearly is winning on and off the field. However, I think, you know, just because of injuries, it's kind of an unfair comparison to make. Do you guys think we're going to go through another round of that next season?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the NFL is always trying to create some kind of hype. So, yeah, I mean, especially week one or leading up to that. And, you know, each week after that, you know, Mariota did this, Winston did this. How do they compare? So, yeah, I think that's always going to be happening.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be, you know, leading up to the draft, it was like that, you know, comparing college careers and comparing quarterback styles and this and that. And yeah, I mean, I think they'll definitely, you know, why is the Brady Manning debate still going after all these years? They love the soap opera of the NFL and they have to create something somewhere. And so, you know, they have to find it where they can get it, I suppose.
But that would be an easy one, though.
Yeah. What's that?
Mariota and Winston.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, yeah. It'll definitely
you
be, you know.
So. You guys really think
that?
I honestly want Jameis Winston, not because I don't dislike the kid. I actually want him to
do
better than the critics expect for him to do, but I just want, not so much about proving people wrong, I just want him to do well. I don't think that I'm ever rooting against a player, and I think that probably is the only thing that bothers me, despite the fact that he's young and dumb and makes poor decisions. I really and truly want him to do well, you know, on the field professionally, because that's what he's paid to do, but I also want to see him get it together in his personal life. I want to see him turn it around, stop, think before he makes decisions. And I really want to see him succeed and turn into an outstanding player that's going to represent the Shield, you know, and represent the team well. Those are the things that I'm really looking forward to out of him. And I hope that he, not so much to prove people wrong, but I want him to do well for nobody else other than himself. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
definitely.
That makes sense.
And I mean, he went to the perfect coach for that too. You know, I'm a big Lovie Smith fan, so you know, if anybody can help him, you know, mature and you know, start making the right decisions off the field, I mean, it would definitely be him.
Yeah, I think Lovie Smith's a good coach for that, for sure. You know, it's you know, and I would never hope that as much as I dislike Winston, you know, for what he's shown himself to be so far, I would
right.
never root against him. You know what I mean? I would never wish him ill will or, you know, anything like that. I'm just very critical, I guess, or speculative as to whether he will change, whether, you know, that he will, you know, turn it around, especially with, you know, giving him a bunch of money and taking away that college bubble. I'm just very hesitant to believe that, not that it's impossible, but I'm just very skeptical as to whether it will happen. But I really do hope he can turn it around. I really do hope he can mature and grow and not, you know, not take the path that Manziel has taken in his rookie year. You know what I mean? I mean, I really hope that he can see, you know, mistakes that people have made and not make those. So, you know, definitely, like Eric said, Lovie Smith is the guy to do that. And, you know, as far as coaches go, that was definitely a good place for him.
Yeah, for sure.
What's that?
I was going to say, since we actually are talking about him, what do you guys think about all of the stuff about that was made about the whole situation with him and the Instagram picture with the crab legs? Did you guys hear about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I did see that.
Okay, so I guess at the end of the day, when the whole thing came out, it was really that it had not. It was in rough. He did it, you know, because they were a gift from the guy from, you know, Dangerous Catch. And I just see, and that's what I mean, like a perfect situation to say, this is where growth and maturity comes in. There was nothing wrong if that was the truth behind how and why. You know, if the guy from the Dangerous Catch really and truly sent them to him for his draft party, then what you do when you tweet out the picture or Instagram it or whatever, you know, however, then you add the little note, you know, to at insert name, you know, of the gift and say, thanks for the crab legs for my event. I had a blast hosting the auction with you to benefit XYZ Foundation. Love to come back and help out again. And you know what? None of this would be, there wouldn't have been any backlash about any of it. Because then it would have done two things. It would have, one, showed, oh, okay, there's relevance here. Two, it would have showed that he has, you know, humor. And three, it would have also brought awareness to whatever nonprofit foundation for which they were working. And now people would say, oh, well, when did he do that? Well, what is that? And then they would go back, research it, and then you've done good PR for the nonprofit organization. And you've also presented yourself in a good light. That's what I mean by, like, he needs good people around him to help him better think that. Instead of, I just posted a picture with no backstory as to why you're posting it, so people assume the worst because you've already shown them the worst. And then for the team to panic and say, no, take it down. Well, now that's just as bad as the no comment. I said no comment, and then you shove the camera out the way. You know what I'm saying? See, that's what I mean by it. There's got to be good, I don't know, PR and just all of that around this kid.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah.
They're probably putting that in place now as we speak. It's definitely not going to be an overnight thing. I mean, he's always going to be, you know, fun-loving, you know, rallying all the guys around him type of guy. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of reining some of that stuff in. So, but yeah, I'm sure they'll get him to that point eventually.
Yeah, I think it was a poorly, it was done in poor taste, I think, especially after everything going on, and I don't know. I felt like it was a bit immature and that it was like an in-your-face thing to critics or people that are kind of wondering about him, I guess. I don't know. I just shook my head at it. I was like, really? I mean, now would be the time for your fresh start, clean slate, and to show everybody, hey, I'm ready to work and be here and whatever. You know what I mean? Regardless of whether the gift or not, I mean, I don't know. I mean, and why of all the things that you could have sent Jameis Winston as a gift, why would you send him crab legs? wife. You could have sent him anything in the entire world, and you sent him crab legs. I mean, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's just like...
No, definitely not.
I don't know. So, it's just, come on, use your brain. And the people around him need to start using their brains if he's not going to use his brain. You know what I mean? It's, you know, anyway, like I said, I on that topic in general, I think I need to probably take a step back.
Well, in other news.
You're right. Well, I was going to say, so, like, we're talking about the Jaguars. They didn't take the wide receiver. They took an outside linebacker. So what puzzles me about that particular choice was that if you're not going to take a wide receiver, why don't you take an alignment? Blake Bortles was sacked 55 times last season. He was sacked the most in the NFL. So you don't go wide receiver and get him a weapon, and then you don't get him protection after he was sacked 55 times. I just think that's really odd. You know what I mean? That out of, I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was a little weird.
Well, I mean, they did, not in the first round, but, I mean, they did pick up an alignment in the third round. Let's see. And they got a receiver in the seventh round, Neil Sterling. They picked up T.J. Yeldon, that running back, from the vaunted Crimson Tide. So looks like they're trying to be conservative as far as what they're adding. I think they're just trying to, you know, just build from the draft, you know, over time, and not try to be, you know, too splashy with free agency and you know, get too crazy with trading, because as we were talking about earlier, I mean, you can win on paper. I mean, you look at what's happened to the Bears the last 3-4 years. I mean, every offseason, you know, they get A grades as far as, you know, free agency, draft, and then they come out and they win, you know, 4 or 5 games. So I think it looks like they're trying to take more of a methodical approach in order to build a consistent winner over the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, and the 49ers, too, you know, because Colin Kaepernick was sacked the second most in the NFL. He was sacked 52 times. And the 49ers didn't grab an O lineman until the sixth round.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I feel like the sixth round is when you find. I mean, we all saw how Colin Kaepernick struggled last season, and that's one of the main reasons why he struggled was due to no time in the pocket and, you know, lack of protection. And you wait until the sixth round. I mean, to me, that should be a little more of a priority there. You know.
Yeah.
But see, that goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, strategizing. You know, there has to be some really good strategy here. And if you're not looking at not just your needs, but looking at who's out there, and, you know, and then if that's the thing, like if Colin Kaepernick is struggling because he can't stay in the pocket, he doesn't have enough time to throw the ball, then the next thing you know, the critics are always screaming, he scrambles, he's always running. Well, he's probably running for his life because, you know, his O-line isn't keeping him upright. I mean, there has to be, that's where the strategy of the draft comes in.
Exactly, yeah. And so it's definitely, you know, and again, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't understand, things that are, you know, maybe they have some trades or something that they're working on right now. I mean, we don't know. But, you know, we just have what's in front of us, and that's why sometimes it's hard to get an accurate picture of this. You know, did you guys see that Winston already signed his rookie contract?
Yeah, I saw that.
They worked
million.
Fast. Mm-hmm. They worked pretty fast. I do like the rookie cap that they had instituted. You know, that it's smart. It's smart not to give these guys, you know, a ton of money right up front. It's, you know,
right.
You don't want to deal with that. You don't want a Jamarcus Russell situation. You know, give a guy a bunch of money and have him turn out like that. You know? So.
Right. And then you're screwed up for the next 3 years.
Exactly. That's exactly why the Raiders are struggled the way they did. So 4-year, $23.3 million, $16.7 million signing bonus. That's decent. I think that is almost perfect for what you're looking for, you know, for a rookie. So
right.
They were smart.
That was actually really good. And plus the other part of it is that, I mean, even another perfect example of someone who, you know, got bit by the rookie bug, Sam Bradford with the Rams. I mean, that definitely hurt them, paying him all that money as well. And, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, my allergies. And then, now, Stafford, though, it took him a little while to get it together, but Matt Stafford is, you know, still wasn't worth the amount of money that they paid him for his rookie contract, because I think he was the one to get the last big rookie contract. But
it was because of him, I think they did the rookie cap.
Right. But at least at least he hasn't turned out to be a total bust. So in as much as, you know, it's crazy, it's still, you know, doable.
Yeah, the problem with Sam Bradford is he always had a decent arm. He just could not get past the injury. He just injury after injury after injury. I mean, you know, he'd be a decent quarterback if he could just quit getting injured over and over, you know.
Yeah.
It was sad to see it happen. I mean, I actually felt so bad for him because, I mean, he'd get back and then the next season it happened again. It's just, I can't imagine how disheartening that would be, you know.
No, me neither.
You know who I was?
I didn't
really
feel too bad for him being in the NFC North. And, you know,
that's funny. Oh, man. Well, you know who I was glad to see, because I really like him, is Brett Hundley. I was really glad to see him go to Green Bay, because he can sit behind Aaron Rodgers now and really learn some things, really develop his skills and, you know, turn into a dynamic quarterback, because he's got all that raw talent. It's all there. It just kind of needs to be cultivated. And Rodgers is the perfect guy for him to be behind to learn all this stuff. So I was pretty excited about that particular pick.
Yes, that's what I was thinking initially, but then I was also thinking, well, you know, if Aaron Rodgers ends up playing, you know, another 3, 4, 5 years, is this guy going to want to sit around and wait that long? I mean, he's got some learning to do, but I wouldn't say he's, you know, 3, 4 years away from starting. I mean, I would think, you know, he probably would learn for a year, maybe two max, and, you know, after that be like, look, you either put me in or I'm going somewhere else. So I think that'll be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, it'll depend on how long his rookie contract is. But I think, you know, he should be content to stay behind two years. 2 years is a good amount of time to learn and to kind of develop those skills. You know, just like I think Brock Osweiler, Peyton's backup, this is the last year of his rookie contract, and he probably won't stay in Denver. I imagine he's going to find a starting job elsewhere. If Peyton stays another year, which I don't know how that's going to turn out, but Osweiler's probably going to say, hey, I have been a backup for 5 years. I think his contract 4 or 5 years. I'm ready to have a starting job somewhere, and he'll end up somewhere else, you know, starting. But it's not a bad thing to stay behind these guys that are, you know, making history, that they're future Hall of Famers. It's not a bad, you know, definitely other backup quarterbacks have it worse. I mean, you know, I'm not going to disparage anybody, but we all know there's some backup quarterbacks out there probably like, are you kidding me? I am backing this guy up. So
yep.
Some of these guys have it pretty good as far as backups are concerned. That's, I think, you know, kind of how I see it as far as Brett Hundley's concerned. So.
Well, now I have a question, because we didn't talk about this when we talked about everything about the draft. We talked about everything but the fact that it moved to Chicago. What do you guys think about moving it from, you know, New York to Chicago. Now, Eric, I know that's your hometown, so I guess we'll give you a little bit of bias, but do you think it worked better? Or
well,
do you think that it should go back to New York next year? Or should they continue to move it around to other cities?
I think they should continue to move it around. I mean, you know, why not, you know, give everybody the spotlight, you know, for that weekend. I mean, I don't see how it would, you know, works any different in any other city than New York. I mean, unless you're just one of those people that are just a traditionalist and, you know, you can't stand change and it has to be that way just because that's the way it's always been. But, I mean, yeah, you know, spread it around. You know, it's especially to, you know, maybe some of the, you know, lesser tier teams, if you will, the teams that are usually, you know, down the, you know, the bottom 10, you know, kind of put the spotlight on their city and, you know, kind of create some excitement there. So I'm all for it as far as moving around.
Well, now, and I think that that makes, you know, definitely a lot of good sense, you know, in terms of moving it around. And you're right. I mean, I don't think the process works any different. I think probably it's just the fact that it's been in New York for so long that little boys, you know, grow up and they think, I can't wait to go to New York. They're like, they no one said, oh, I can't wait to go to Chicago. Nothing personal, because I, you know, my best friend's from Chicago, so I'm and my pastor's from Chicago, so I would like to not get Chicago Southside. But mad at me. But in all honesty, I think that sometimes there's something magical about tradition. But I also agree with you that it's a good point about, you know, moving it around to a fun city. Like, maybe I could even see it being in a city like Miami or Tampa or New Orleans, someplace that's going to add a little extra kick to the whole festivities. I guess maybe that's what it is, because for all of the other NFL events, there's festivities around it, the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl. There's no festivities around the draft. I wonder if that would be something that we could see in the future by not only moving it around but having draft day events and activities. You know, maybe the next day there's like fan day or meet and greets, or I don't know. You know how like they have that whole week of activities leading up to the Super Bowl and all the fan interaction events for the Pro Bowl. I wonder if there would be. I don't know. Does that make sense?
That's what they did this year in Chicago. I mean, it was very interactive. I mean, my family's still there, so one of my sisters and my daughter was actually there. Taking pictures and whatnot. So, and, you know, got to see all the videos. I mean, they had an event where you could run the 40-yard dash against some of the guys that are in the draft now. They had them on a screen, and, you run next to the screen to see, you know, how you kind of compare. So, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, they've started that. So I would assume they would just build from there.
Oh, nice. So what other fun cities do you – okay, so then the other question I have, and Erica, tell me what do you think, especially – and I know not to get in a rant, but what do you think about the fact that both the number one and number two stayed home?
I think it's okay. I mean, I think that Mariota's from Hawaii. He lives in Hawaii, and that's a far way to travel. Especially if he wants, he's got a lot of extended family and the whole family can't afford, or, you know, that's a lot of people to travel. I think it's more than okay to, you know, spend it in the comfort of your own home. It's a nerve-wracking process. It's, you know, daunting. It's, you know, there's a lot of high emotions, and I think seeing where you feel the most comfortable, I think is perfectly fine. I don't think it's a must. I don't think it's like disrespect like in some other where I'm like, hey, you really couldn't go, you know what I mean? But I think it's okay. I think, you know, Winston's staying, and, you know, I think there was talk about he wanted to be with his grandma, and I think that his grandma's probably elderly, maybe she doesn't travel well, and so, you know, maybe I don't know how many years she has left. I don't really know that much about her. So in those type of situations, I think it's great that they stay home and are comfortable and, you know, kind of be as even keel as they can emotion-wise. So that's kind of, you know, my take on the whole thing.
Yeah, I kind of get it.
I agree with it. I mean, I don't see a huge reason why they have to be there or why they should be there. If they want to be there, if their dream to be drafted and walk across that stage, then it's on them. If it's more important for them to be with their family, or if they got more pressing issues around that date where it's hard to get away, then stay where you're at. I mean, they always put a TV camera wherever you're at anyway, so. It's not like if you want to see their reaction or if you want to see the emotion of it. I mean, you can still see that. They're just not, at the actual event. So I don't have an issue with it.
So I want to. I forgot about this. I heard about this week. Did you guys hear about the thing with Stephen A. Smith and Tom Brady? Did anybody hear about it?
No, tell.
All right. So Tom Brady missed the Packers visit to the White House.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't go. It was his parents' 50th wedding anniversary. I think we can all agree that that's a pretty big deal. Family is very important, and obviously to Tom Brady it's the most important thing. So Stephen A. Smith got on Twitter and literally ripped him apart for it. And from what I think he alluded to the fact that it was maybe a racist thing because he went when George W. Bush was in office, but now that Obama's in office, he didn't go. And is Brady a Republican and all these things, right? They said it wasn't an emergency. It was a commitment. And so he's just ripped him apart about it. And so I don't remember Stephen A. Smith saying anything about Marshawn Lynch missing last year. Did he say it? Remember when Marshawn Lynch just flat out didn't go? And I don't remember Marshawn Lynch giving an excuse. And he flat out never said anything. I don't think Vince Wilfork was there. He didn't say anything about Vince Wilfork not going. And so I'm just the ignorance of this. And then he comes out and supports Floyd Mayweather, who has two domestic abuse convictions on his record. So he supports Mayweather, but bashes Tom Brady for not going to the White House because of his parents' 50th wedding anniversary. I was not happy.
Now, I knew Brady wasn't going, but I didn't know the why. I just saw it in passing, Tom Brady not going. I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't know the why.
Yeah. So, I was mad.
Well, to me, him not being there, I mean, to me, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, they've won, three other championships with him? And wasn't he at all three when they go to the White House?
Yeah, he was at all the other three.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I doubt it's a racist thing, but, maybe he doesn't really care for, President Obama. Maybe he was trying to make a statement. I don't know, but to me it wasn't a big issue. Now, also, Stephen A. Smith, he has to get ratings. He has to get viewership. So, I'm not surprised that he would put something out like that.
Right.
But, I don't see what the big deal was.
Yeah, and I don't think it was. I mean, regardless, I don't know Tom Brady's politics. And honestly, I don't care. That's not why. I don't like to know famous people's political affiliation. I could care less. That's not why I watch you. That's not why. You know what I mean? But, he had a legitimate family commitment. And I just think that it was completely ignorant that he would allude to racism or, call him out like that. It's not like, oh, hey, I'm just going to sit home. And that he didn't make it, equal. Why didn't you say anything last year when Marshawn Lynch didn't go? Why wasn't that a thing,
Well, he's already blasted Marshawn Lynch for other stuff. So
for everything.
If he said anything about not being at the White House or not. But, he's blasted him for not talking to the media, for, the type of image that he gives off, a lot of things. So,
Oh, okay.
Nobody can. Go ahead.
No, but I agree with Eric. No, I agree with you, Eric, in that it's about ratings. And I think the problem, however, is that Stephen A. Smith has to be very careful Stephen A. Smith has to be careful in terms of the line he's walking. Because at some point, you started out as a respected actual journalist. And they need you to still be a journalist. And I think that he's got to be careful that he does, in the interest of ratings, that he does not turn into the Howard Stern of sports media. Because, him and now the name just went right out of my head, the other guy that he co-hosts with.
Skip Bayless.
Yes, Skip Bayless. Between the two of them, sometimes I literally wonder how much of this is sport as opposed to just how much of this is just, ha-ha, we're yelling back and forth, now people are hearing us scream. But I'm really more interested in the sports aspect and becoming more of a personality and less of a broadcaster. Because when he's actually talking, especially about basketball, that's when I tend to listen to Stephen A. Smith more, when he's actually talking about basketball, because then he actually tends to use more statistical data to back up his stats and positions, as opposed to, like Eric said, just some of the rants for ratings.
Well, basketball is his expertise anyway.
Right.
But, being on with Skip Bayless, it's a debate show. So, that's what they do. Nobody watches them to, just sit there and civilly agree on every point. He's going to, say some inflammatory stuff. He's been suspended from ESPN for doing that before.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
The last time.
Well, and that's what I mean by you got to walk the fine line. At what point do you have to gauge what you say for ratings versus am I pushing the envelope too far, and then I'll be sitting on the sideline waiting for the unemployment check.
Yeah. And if anybody gets ramped, I get it. I get cold rants. I really do. But I think that you have to think, make it your opinion, sure, because that's pretty much what rants are. It's what I think and what makes me upset.
Right.
I would never, the things I rant about, I would never tout them as fact or never say, hey, you guys have to feel this way because I feel this way. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But
yeah.
At the same time, you need to evaluate, is this rant too much? Am I going too far with what I'm saying here, and is it completely off base? I think everybody knows that Tom Brady isn't racist. I think we're all pretty safe to say that Tom Brady's not racist. So these are the things, like you said, it's a debate show, and it's why I can't watch those two guys, because I will break my TV. I can't watch them. But it's definitely, I guess, you're right, Eric, I didn't think of it that way, but it probably was the ratings things. If any, coming down on the Patriots seems to be an American pastime anymore, so... that is a true story. Oh my gosh, you should see and hear the things that when I go out in public. Oh, that's just here in Montana. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so I had to get that off my chest because I saw that this week and I was not. Anyway, we are pretty much at the end of our show. So, Intishi, do you have any last bit of things to say, topics you want to bring up, or anything like that?
One topic I want to talk about that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that we have talked about all day, but just to simply say that, go Wiz, kids. I am so proud of my Washington Wizards, who just beat the Atlanta Hawks in the first game of the second round today. So I'm so proud of them. This is their fourth postseason on the road win, and it is the fourth time that the away team has won the first game in the postseason, and they actually set an NBA record today. So I'm so hoping that my Wizards can get past the Hawks and go on to the next round. So go Wizards.
All right. How about you, Eric?
Well, since we were talking about the draft, I just want to say I'm pretty happy with the Bears draft, especially the number one draft, Kevin White. Dude is a beast. He's big. He's fast. He'll compliment Alshon Jeffrey. So it's time to hit the ground running.
All right. I was pretty happy with the Patriots draft. I expected about as much from Belichick, you know, how he is. So Malcolm Brown, I am excited about their first-round pick. I'm excited to see what he can do. We knew they'd go defense, so that'll be exciting. But, yeah, pretty much got everything I expected from Belichick. So, all right. Well, that does it for us, everybody. We have talked the draft and a little bit of pretty much everything. It was kind of a Heinz 57 show. We want to give you a reminder to check out at Gridiron Girl Org on Twitter, or you can go to gridirongirl.org for football stuff. I will have an interview up there soon, as my finals are over, as well as an article on the draft. So be on the lookout for that. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find Nkeshi at Nkeshi's Cuties. You can find Eric at Fit for Life, life spelled with a Y. And you can find me on Twitter at PepFangirl12. Like we said, you're going to want to find us on Twitter because we're pretty awesome. You can find me on Cover 3 during the NFL season. We may be doing a draft show coming up, so you can find Cover 3. It's at Cover, the number 3, then the word 3 spelled out. And we will announce when or if we will be doing a show, as well as my Are You Kidding Me rant on YouTube. YouTube link is on my Twitter page. We want to thank you, everybody, for supporting and for listening. We appreciate it. So for me, Eric, and Nkeshi, we will catch you guys next Sunday for another exciting edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
Good night.
Bye, guys. Have a good week.